97.5 and 1240 KFH. Yeah!
Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily, and every other Wednesday, we start that hour with a conversation with Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul. Kevin, welcome back into the program. Let's start with the big one and all the news. We haven't talked since this has all sort of come out. Cessna Stadium, some renovations, big-time renovations, a big-time financial commitment. I'm going to ask this first question. We're going to get this out of the way. I'm going to give you the opportunity to squash it. Does this have anything to do with football at Wichita State?
Well, Jacob and Tommy, great to be on your show. Certainly appreciate the opportunity and look forward to it every couple of weeks. So the Cessna Stadium project, I think, maybe start a little globally before we get into the specific question regarding football, is what you saw about 7 to 10 days ago was the Kansas Board of Regents making the first and initial step to any major facility renovation or new facility build on a Regents campus, which is providing the approval to move forward with design and fundraising. It's not an allocation of funds. It's not anything other than the first domino in a long line of dominoes that allows us to begin the detailed design development and the fundraising efforts. So what you saw in terms of the rendering is just that. It's a conceptual rendering. There's been a lot of feedback and great dialogue and correspondence about what that includes and what doesn't include in terms of seating elements and grass berms or not. And all those things will be vetted out in a very inclusive and comprehensive conversation as part of design development. You know, you may have seen in the Kansas Board of Regents documents that anticipated capacity will be in that 10.5 to 11,000 range. We have committed to Commissioner Bill Faflick and the High School Athletic Association that we will sequence and phase any construction of that project around State High School track. As you guys know, that's a longstanding traditional event that's been here in Wichita with huge economic impact for Wichita, about $7 million per year. So obviously we want to accommodate that in the phasing and construction. So as you get to the more narrow question about a football program, I think that attendance in that facility probably indirectly answers that question. Currently don't have plans to add football. Certainly I don't think you ever completely shut the door on that conversation. But, you know, guys, if you look at infrastructure for a nationally relevant football program, you're looking at initial investments of well over a couple $100 million in terms of all the facility elements, team operations, practice spaces, indoor and out. Certainly the footprint of Cessna Stadium wouldn't accommodate that, even if that was a desire of the institution at this point in time. And that's a one-time investment. Then you got to look at the recurring annual investment of double digits, tens of millions of dollars in terms of a competitive football program. And then, guys, don't forget, we have obligations as a public research institution to Title IX and gender equity. We have a 56% of our students at Wichita State University are female and 44% are male. Athletics is obligated to maintain a 5% variance from that gender distribution within our student athlete population. So if you add 115 males, you're gonna add 130 females. So you start looking at the sports to add to make that happen. You're looking at a handful of sports with another annual operating of in the $5 to $6 million range. So as you guys can see, it starts to add up very quickly in terms of one-time investments. And then you get into literally $10 to $20 million in recurring annual investments, which would be double the existing budget. So it's certainly not in the plans at this point in time. This facility, we're really excited about the future of it. I will tell you that our state high school track, the aggregate attendance here the last couple of years on the busiest day have been 12,000. So we think that 11,000 is right size, and we'll certainly collaborate with state high school track to build just a great facility. Keep in mind, guys, we have 250 student athletes and 110 are in our track program. So the facility will provide just a tremendous development, recruiting, retention component for 110 of our student athletes. And we also want to create a pathway for women's soccer potentially down the road. And so we'll do that through this project as well.
Yeah, and we want to talk about women's soccer. So let me ask it a little more simply then. And I ask you these questions, Kevin, because these are the questions that immediately come to people's mind. And
sure.
we're the mouthpiece of the people. Is there any interest in football now? And do you anticipate any interest in football while you're the athletic director at Wichita State?
The conversation, the institution at this point in time is not pursuing football. And I certainly don't want to speak to institutional priorities X number of years down the road. But at this point in time, our plans do not include a football program.
Perfect. Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah. So moving on to other priorities and sports that you guys are looking at, you know, down the road with this future complex and everything. We talked about women's soccer. And so I guess my question is kind of a two-parter. First off, what does that process look like for women's soccer down the road? And then we also had a question, and this is part number two. We had a question from a listener wanting to know what it would take to have a men's soccer program. I'm sure there are Title IX situations and all of that, but I'm curious to know, first off, what does the women's side look like? And then does that open the door at all down the road, even longer term, for a men's program?
Well, again, let's deal with the first one. We can walk through that first. And I think folks are interested in just specific timelines, right? I would be as a fan. When are we going to have a women's soccer program? Well, there's some variables. It's difficult for me to pinpoint for you an exact year that might occur because, number one, keep in mind the facility, the Cessna Stadium project, we received approval to move forward with design and fundraising. Okay, so obviously there's a variable there. We've got to walk through some significant fundraising conversations to make that happen with multiple partners, a diverse set of partners to work through that. So we've got to have a facility for a women's soccer program to go in. And then you've got design and construction timelines as well that could be variable. And so we are planning for within this facility, particularly on the west side, to have team support spaces, locker rooms, team rooms, training rooms, all of those things to accommodate a future women's soccer program. And then you have the build out of a new program, right? You for a period of time prior to your first year of competition, you're going to have a coaching staff that's going to have to recruit a brand new full roster. And so it's smart to leave some lead time into that process as well. And so that will be on our radar. There's certainly processes that are contingent upon processes before we can get more definitive dates for our women's soccer program. But obviously that's an interest of ours. As you guys know, and I grew up in Manhattan, I played soccer in high school, and Wichita is very well known in this state and region for youth soccer and high school soccer. And it's a very, very strong community for that. We feel like we could be successful in that program in a relatively efficient period of time. As always, our sport portfolio will be dictated by two primary variables. Number one will be finances, and number two will be the not any priority order, but number two would be in the Title IX and gender equity component, right? We talked about the gender distribution. We need to be within 5% of this general student population. And guys, what's interesting is if you look at the last 10 years of trends in higher education across the country, there's the gap between females in college and males is widening. Right now it's 56-44 at Wichita State. At one point 10 years ago, we were sitting at 51-49 at other institutions that I had been a part of. And so that gap is widening. Well, our student athlete population needs to mirror that in some respects. And so whenever you talk about adding sports, the first thought is going to be adding it on the women's side so that we can maintain Title IX compliance as a federally funded institution. That's not to say that men's soccer will never be a part of the conversation, but we certainly need to make sure that we're in good place with Title IX and gender equity.
It's an exciting time, and women's soccer would, I think, be a hit. The renderings look awesome. For Cessna. I mean, how much of this too, Kevin, as you've done early evaluations, is it just, you know, Cessna's old, man, and it's right there smack in the middle of campus. and you've got state-of-the-art baseball right next door. You've got a really growing and nice softball facility right next door. Obviously, Coke Arena is one of the best places in the country. It almost feels like it just needs to catch up. And I think most people think, well, is there enough use out of it? Women's soccer certainly does it, but track and field does it too. And track and field at Wichita State has been really successful lately. Are you just how much of this is a tip of the cap to what's going on and just upgrading needed facilities anyway?
Well, and I you hit the nail on the head, Jacob. If you look at the growth of this institution, has met industry standards and market demands in terms of the applied learning that's going on this campus. Last year, we had 5,600 students involved in applied learning on campus, and they, in total, they were compensated $26 million. Think about that from a big picture perspective. We have young people come to school here. They have the opportunity to make dollars through applied learning experience that will actually benefit them as they pursue their jobs. That's experience you're putting on your resume as an assistant to an electrical engineer at Airbus or Spirit or whomever it might be on our innovation campus. So I think it's just an extension of that. We have a facility that's there that has been great for a historic football program, but it's been almost 40 years, right? It's been 36 years since we last competed in that facility in football. It's been a great home for our track and field program, the strength of our track and field program. Coach Rainbolt and his staff have done an awesome job. We've talked about it on your program before. In the last 5 years, we've won 6 AAC championships, and 3 of those are attributable to our track and field and cross-country programs. We have a women's outdoor track championship, a men's outdoor track championship, and a women's cross-country championship in the AAC. They do a phenomenal job. And as I mentioned earlier, there are 110 of our 250 student athletes. And so when you look at what we have envisioned for that facility moving forward, it is not only a premier home for a future soccer program, but a current premier track program who is beating the likes of Houston and Cincinnati and Central Florida and all those powerful track programs currently in our league. And so we want to honor that. It's also a great opportunity for external events, guys. And if you put a 75-yard by 120-yard soccer field down there and you've got natural grass, think about the implications for state all-star football games, the occasional high school football game in that facility, our ability to host NCAA track regionals. There's only 2 of those nationally. I had an opportunity to host 2 of them at the University of Kentucky. They are phenomenal events. It is not dissimilar to the number of participants that you would see at a state high school track meet. So you'd have an opportunity for that. It would be a premier track facility where you could host a junior national championship, which would be massive in recruiting for our track program. So we have our eyes on all of those things as we design and develop this facility.
Kevin, there's one thing that I'm really interested in and curious to get your take on with the new renderings and everything with Cessna Stadium. How does this tie in to NIL? I mean, I'm sure that there are lots of different parallels that you can draw, but I wonder, you know, as you're talking about funding and you're talking about raising the money and all of this stuff, of course, it's been a big priority for you when you've been out talking to donors about increasing and elevating what Wichita State is doing on the NIL front. Does this tie in at all? And if so, how does it tie in?
Well, I think it's great. And you're exactly right, Tommy, in terms of, talking about the importance of NIL. We're closing in on 90 days here, which is an important, milestone in terms of trying to establish your strategic objectives and your priorities for the organization and connecting in the community. And we've certainly done a great deal of connecting in the community, and we'll continue to do that. The importance of NIL, really, from our department perspective, as you guys know, it's a market-driven concept. But the importance for us has been to, number one, protect the integrity of the institution and the eligibility of the student athlete. Number two, to set up the infrastructure through Open Doors' marketplace, through armchair strategies. Guys, we've got another 2 or 3 collectives within the community that have interest in emerging as a substantial player in the NIL space here as well. As we talk to donors and educate, that's another component of what we're obligated to do as an institution is educate the public on what NIL is, what it isn't, how to get involved, and all those sort of things. Obviously, we're not creating the deals. That's a market-driven concept, but it's incredibly important. And I think it's all connected, whether it's Cessna Stadium or Wilkins Softball facility. Guys, at the end of the day for us, our mission is to develop young people and programs, okay? And when you talk about a comprehensive facility master planning campaign, which we have begun here in this last week within athletics, we're going to take a look at every single one of our athletic facilities. What are the next steps in those facilities and define a plan? And when I say define a plan, I'm specific in terms of timeline, scope, cost, renderings. What are the next steps in all of our facilities? Because at the end of the day, every piece of this is connected to recruitment of elite level student athletes, retention of those same student athletes, and then ultimately their development as students, persons, players, and then eventually professionals. It's all connected. So when you ask specifically, how is Cessna Stadium connected to all this? I think everything we do is interconnected in terms of recruiting, retention, and development.
One more, Kevin, before we let you go here, because we had the start of Wichita State basketball practice. I don't know if you were able to make it over there. But what's the buzz been like for you with the program that means so much to this community now and historically? How are we feeling as we officially get things going ahead of the upcoming season?
Well, I feel great about it. Obviously, it's a long journey, right? It's September 28th, and practice, first official day of practice was September 27th. Nationally, I know our guys had a great day yesterday. Certainly talked to several who were there. I did not happen to be at the practice yesterday specifically, but I have attended multiple practices. We've got a talented group. As you guys know, we've got a new group. We've got 12 new guys, and they're all finding their way. We're long, we're athletic, we shoot it well. Really excited about what you see in practices and drills, and of course the cultural aspect of it evolves as you go. That piece is obviously one of the most critical, is how that synergy and culture develops in our program. So very excited about it. We've been pushing our season tickets hard to fill Coke Arena and support both our men's program and our women's program. We've got some phenomenal young ladies in Coach Keith Adams' squad. So it's we look forward to it, guys. We've got a tip-off luncheon for basketball on October 14th and would encourage folks to go to GoShockers.com and get your tickets for that. I think we're up to about 100 RSVPs or tickets sold for that. We've got a few more weeks. I think the RSVP due date is October 11th on that. So come join us. We'll have all our student athletes there. You'll hear from Coach Adams, Coach Brown, and myself. We'll keep it to right at an hour, so you've got time to get back to work. But that's on Friday, October 14th. And then we've got Shocker Madness on the evening of Thursday, October 27th, which will be the public introduction of our team. We'll have some fun in terms of some open scrimmages and some exhibitions and getting to know the staffs a little bit on those evenings as well. So the time is here, and we're looking forward to it.
We appreciate it, Kevin. We'll spend some more time with the tickets the next time we have you on in a couple weeks. That's one of the questions, as you'll learn. We hear about a game and people ask, well, how was the crowd? Was it a big crowd? Was there a huge crowd there? That's what everybody wants to know, because there's pride in selling out that arena. And at its best, it stays sold out. So we appreciate it. Thanks for the candid conversation on Cessna and football and all that stuff. Had to get that out of the way because it's what everybody asks us. Let's do this again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy, Jacob, thank you so much for having us on our show, and thanks for covering the Shockers. We can't do what we do without you, and just appreciate the opportunity and the relationship. So thanks so much, guys.
You bet. There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State's athletic director. We'll come back. Thoughts on any of that, any of our conversation with Brian Haney in the first hour. We'll talk a little bit about the Shockers' opening practice, the Wichita Wind Surge also wrapped up their season yesterday. Not what we wanted to see. We'll mention that as well. Your calls, 869-1240. We got a lot to cram in the rest of the way. We'll do it. The Sports Daily comes back next.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a better time for football fans to join the huddle with BetMGM. Sign up today and place a $10 pregame wager on any pro football game to win. If any player scores a touchdown in any pro football game, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your wager's outcome. Just use bonus code JACOB200, JACOB200 when you make your first bet. Get on the field and find out why nothing beats a win at BetMGM. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code JACOB200 to win $200 in free bets if any player scores a touchdown in any pro football game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Kansas only. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. And welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on a Wednesday edition. It's the middle of the week as we get ready for another crazy football weekend. We still don't have any update on the Chiefs game. When and where exactly it will be played is... Florida braces for what looks like it could be a really dangerous hurricane, maybe all the way up to Cat 5. It's very close. If it doesn't technically get there, I think I saw it was about 2 miles per hour underneath the wind speeds necessary. So it's a bad one, and we hope everybody makes it out safe and stays safe and picks up the pieces effectively and gets the help they need as that thing blows through. We got two big college games this weekend, Tommy. Last night, a big night for Wichita. You know, we saw the wind surge with an opportunity to force a game three. They didn't get it. They had a brilliant pitching performance. Game ends up going to extra innings, and Frisco takes it. Really felt like that was a game the wind surge were going to win early, and disappointing, and you know, even a little bit of a controversial call, although, you know, in minor league baseball without instant replay and all that stuff, I didn't think it was egregious, certainly, at the end there on a attempted steal of home. But tough way to end it, but 2 years in the postseason and overall on the field, a great year for the wind surge.
Yeah, you know, the big storyline for all of the fans in attendance and today was, you know, what looked like potentially a blown call there at home plate, you know, with that the stolen... stealing home plate or home base there. And you know, unfortunately for the wind surge, that there was not a replay capability, you know, able to challenge that. And so, unfortunately the wind surge had their fair share of chances. They weren't able to get runs across in the bottom of the ninth and the bullpen couldn't hold up, but man, what a great season. And, you know, I think that if you're looking at the way that this franchise has grown over the last 2 years and, you know, 2 years in existence, 2 years in the playoffs, playing for a championship both years, you've got to be pretty happy with the way things have gone.
Yeah, I think so. On the field, certainly. You know, certainly it's been successful on the field. I mean, you've got 2 years in the postseason in a minor league system that makes it really difficult to make the postseason. That's hard. You know, that's really difficult to do. And they've done that. And that's cool to see them do that. And, you know, we're happy for them. They had a chance to win it at home, which is always so much fun. Love it. But it's okay. I mean, they got it, and they had a good crowd. And that's the thing. But, you know, you're in that world, Tommy. The opportunity to get another crowd is a big opportunity. And, you know, it sounds like they had a pretty good crowd on short notice last night.
Yeah, I think they had just under 4,000 people at Riverfront, you know, for the playoff game. And I don't know, like I've been in Wichita my entire life working in minor league sports right now. I understand the importance of minor league sports to the overall culture in Wichita. And we don't have to get into a philosophical conversation about that, but it's important. You know, I grew up going to Wranglers games at the old Lawrence Dumont and, you know, when it was affiliated baseball and how important it was to the city at the time. And, you know, then of course, over the years, they struggled with attendance, you know, especially when, you know, you got down to the last few years of the Wranglers' existence in Wichita. And so my hope is that, you know, the wind surge, they're able to not only stay competitive on the field, but continuing to draw good crowds. And I think the more that the downtown and riverfront area continues to develop, hopefully it becomes a destination for people. And, regardless of the success on the field, I hope that people still show up.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we want, right? That's why we built the new stadium. So that's it. That's it for the Wind Surge this year. They'll give it another run next year, see if they can take that last step. Tommy, Wichita State basketball starts yesterday. Practice, anyway. It's a season of unknowns, certainly. It's a season that is important for Isaac Brown and his future, right? Like, we need to see some things and some progress. And what's interesting is the roster and all of the production, almost all, is gone. And, you know, the NIL getting organized, although it was a little behind the eight ball, they did bring in more talent than it initially looked like they'd be able to. So that's good. Craig Porter's back, though, and by all accounts, and, you know, talking to Isaac Brown yesterday and sort of seeing it in the opportunity, I think the sky's the limit for, you know, for Craig Porter to really take off. And sounds like he's become the leader of this team. But, you know, as we enter the season and we talk about expectations, I don't really know what to expect. And I don't know how people can when basically it's an entirely new team. But what I do know is there's talent there now where Isaac Brown can and staff can really roll up their sleeves and try and prove something this year if they can be competitive in the league and win games and do those things with, you know, with a basically a whole new group of guys.
Yeah, the biggest thing is chemistry. It's building that that team cohesion. You've got a dozen newcomers coming into the program. And what I like about this is that, you know, these are players that Isaac Brown and his staff, they're going all in on. Like, they wanted to overhaul the roster. They knew that, the production last season wasn't enough to get them over the hump. And so, you know, I think that Brown and his staff went out and said, look, we're going to need to find, our players, our guys, and, you know, put them together. It might take a minute to build that cohesion, but that's going to be essential. And so my biggest question going into this season is, how long is that going to take? Are we looking at a handful of games in the non-conference for them to build that chemistry? Is that going to carry into conference play? The sooner that they're able to gel and the sooner that we're able to kind of see, okay, who are the main players? What's the rotation look like? How are they gelling on the court together? That's going to be essential. And the sooner that Brown and his staff are able to make that work and the players are able to buy into that system, the better that they're going to be.
I'm excited about it. I just want to see it, right? And practice is a big thing, and shocker madness, and the early games, and the exhibition, and how quickly can they get, you know, acclimated, and can Xavier Bell, the local kid, can he be a big-time contributor like we hope he can be? There's just a lot of things to look for, and when it's always this much unknown, the early part of the season means, you know, I think more even than it does when you return a lot of guys, and we'll see. And we'll see if this team can generate the offense that it's lacked the last couple of years. And it's right here for us. Real quick, as we're talking about college basketball, the Memphis news yesterday, which is basically Memphis isn't going to get in any real trouble for its infractions. The same, whatever it's called, NCAA group is looking at that, I think, is that looking at Kansas. When I see Memphis yesterday and the nature of the way and the length of time the Kansas investigation has gone on, I think it's got to be good news for the Jayhawks, don't you?
100%. The fact that this came down through the IARP, the independent panel or whatever.
Too many letters.
Yeah, they're legislating these, you know, these situations from the NCAA. And the fact that it came down from Memphis that, you know, really nothing, none of these penalties impact the current student athletes, the current program as it stands right now. I think that's got to look really good for Kansas basketball. There's been a lot of speculation, and what I hate about this is how long it's taken. Like, this has gone on forever for all of the programs that are dealing with this through the NCAA. But what I like about it is the fact that it doesn't look like it's going to impact anything current or moving forward for Kansas basketball. Like, everything might be retroactive. You know, Memphis vacated a couple of wins. I can't imagine that in Kansas's situation that it's going to be that egregious. Like, I don't know if we're looking at vacated wins, because if memory serves me correctly, I believe the infractions that it's being dealt with through Kansas are for players that never played a game for Kansas. So I'm not sure that, I mean, they never stepped on the court. They didn't contribute to any wins. So in the situation with Memphis, that all surrounded James Wiseman and the few games he played for Memphis, those wins were then vacated by Memphis. So I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know what the timeline looks like. It might still be a few months, but I would imagine this bodes well for KU.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think that there is hope there. And I haven't really known what to think about that situation anyway, because it is taking so long. And we saw Oklahoma State, who tried to be open and up front, and it blew up in their face. And you know, like, the second you saw that, you're like, okay, well, no team's ever going to do that again. They're going to make this as complicated as possible, which is what Kansas has done. And it's probably the right play as they continue to just wait. And what we saw in Memphis could be a sign of things to come. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, you know, we opened with Leipold because there was a new story from Dennis Dodd about it. And it makes me wonder, you know, we're all focused on Leipold, but Kansas State just beat Oklahoma on a national stage in Norman. And, you know, Klieman's going to get mentioned more and more for these jobs. And while Nebraska may not be the one, others could be. So, you know, for the same reasons that Kansas is under some pressure here, is Kansas State under that same kind of pressure, I wonder? Let's talk about that when we come back. Coaching news, or lack thereof, next on Sports Daily. All right, Tommy, we talked about the pressure in Lawrence to ensure Lance Leipold is a part of the future. Does that same pressure exist, you think, with Chris Klieman at K-State, or have they already done what they needed to do and everything that they can do?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one for me. Like, it's tougher with Klieman than it is with Leipold, because of the relationship and the longstanding relationship that Klieman has had with Gene Taylor, his athletic director. And I'm not saying that Lance Leipold and Travis Goff don't have a good relationship. They clearly do.
Sure.
But Taylor and Klieman go back a long time, and they were together at a previous school, sort of came to Kansas State together. So that makes it a little bit tougher for me. Now, I don't know. I mean, if, you know, this wouldn't happen, but, you know, if Ohio State called, you know, if an SEC team called, would that be enough to take Klieman away? I don't know. I'm really torn on this.
You know, they're so similar in what they're doing, right? You know, Klieman is 55 years old. They both built powerhouses and were a part of powerhouses at lower levels to get to this point and to get this opportunity. Very similar. It's why we all liked the Kansas approach to this hire. Anyway, right? Like that's a part of why we liked Leipold in the first place. They sort of took the same approach that Kansas State did, and it appears to be working, obviously, with Chris Klieman. But I do think there is some pressure, because think about right now, Tommy, the narrative in the conversation, had Kansas State not stumbled against Tulane, right? They're also 4-0 coming off of a win in Norman, and probably a top, at least top 20, if not in that top 15 range at this point, by the way they've played. I think these sorts of rumors would probably running wildly in Manhattan like they are in Lawrence at the same time. And I ask them together because this is a unique time, relatively speaking. You've got national shows speaking about both Kansas and Kansas State at the same time. We're not seeing it this week for some reason with Kansas State and Texas Tech, which I feel like should be in a national window for sure, but it's not. But you're seeing more and more appearances on national broadcast, right? That they're being picked to play in the windows that go out to everybody. And that does mean something. There's a buzz going on for football collectively that we haven't seen. Kansas State, we knew it was going to be there, right? We knew what the opportunity was and the buzz and all of these things. Kansas has surprised us, but this is a really pivotal time for the future of college football in this state because you've got two coaches that are clearly taking advantage now of opportunities in the transfer world, in the NIL world, to really strengthen the programs and build a foundation, maybe to get some long-term success even that we haven't seen, especially collectively. And both of those coaches seem like they're such a big part of it.
What is so foreign about all of this is we've never had this conversation before. Like, it's been a long time. In fact, I was trying to think about the last time either one of these programs, Kansas or Kansas State, was having a conversation about another school coming in to try to hire their coach. Because it didn't happen during, I mean, maybe quietly with Bill Snyder, but he never, to my recollection, ever acknowledged looking at leaving and going somewhere else. I mean, he was Kansas State through and through. And the KU program has been so bad for so long that, you know, none of those coaches were ever looking at, you know, maybe being poached by another program. Mark Mangino was forced out. Like, I'm trying to think back. It might have been Glenn Mason for Kansas, like in the mid-90s, because he left Kansas to go to Minnesota. That might be the last time that either one of these programs has had to have this conversation about what are we going to do to keep our coach and keep other schools from coming in and taking them away. And, you know, Kansas State is so much further ahead facilities wise than Kansas is.
Oh, yeah.
So the
yeah.
Jayhawks have to catch up in that regard, but the money's there for both schools, you know, to be able to pony up. If they want their program to become a premier program and stay a premier program, then they've got the money that they can put in place to make it happen, you know, for Kansas facilities wise, but for both schools to pay their coaches enough to where they don't want to leave and go somewhere else.
It's an interesting time. It's a good time. These are good problems to have. I do agree with your point earlier in the show about that. And we'll get into it more tomorrow. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, joins us as we look ahead to their game against Tech. Real quick, let's set up a giveaway. Let's give some tickets away. We've got another 4-pack to a movie called Running the Bases. A small-town baseball coach gets a major opportunity at a new school. His faith-first coaching approach causes tension, though, with his new boss. You can get your tickets to that inspirational sports drama, we're told. It's called Running the Bases. So we'll do a 4-pack of that, a 4-pack of Wichita Thunder hockey. Tickets to the home opener, Tommy, is coming up. Gosh, we're less than a month away here.
Yeah, we are. October 22nd, Intrust Bank Arena, the Thunder take on the Allen Americans. And we want to give you 4 tickets to the home opener to go out and enjoy some hockey on us.
It should be an exciting time. We'll also throw in a couple of free tea cards for some iced tea at HTO. Open West coming soon East, and we'll do that all. So 2 sets of 4 tickets and a pair of free tee cards, 869-1240. We'll do that for our third caller. Jad will take that in our final break here. We'll come back, we'll give you a winner, and wrap things up on Sports Daily right after this. What you-